sacrifice for you to be where I am. I have shed my blood, which I presented at the mercy seat of my Father. For I want you close to me. I want you with me. I want you by my side. So take my hand. I will show you the way. I will guide you to the strong tower behind the veil into the Holy of Holies. And you will have joy forevermore. Ha ha ha. And I will show you all the good things that I have in store for you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So if you came in here wound up, you can get unwound. Or the Lord may just need to wind you up. You know. We are not the frozen chosen. We are the called out. The ecclesia, the ecclesia. And because there's two or more here that are gathered in His name, He is here. And the Holy Spirit is ready to activate His Word. I want to give you a quick review, and then we'll get into whatever the Lord wants. Amen. You know, I believe that we can release God's creative ability in our lives. All right? So what these things are, this is simply a process that the Lord showed me. I did not know this. And number one, you've got to know that words are creative containers. All right? It is very important that we take notice of the words that we use, not just in church, but at the breakfast table. And yeah. Number two, if you want to create like Jesus created, we got to use the words that He used. Okay? And the Holy Spirit is waiting for us to speak God's word so that He can activate it in our lives. He's hovering around us sometimes. And He's just waiting for us. You think you're waiting for God. Sometimes God's waiting for you to take action. I mean, when Joshua was fighting the battle and he wanted to finish the battle and the sun was going down, where did he get the idea to speak to the sun? He said, "Son, I command you to stay still." What did the sun do? See, the Holy Spirit was just waiting for a man to speak. And when we speak God's word, there's no limit to what God can do. Number four, creation is a process of speaking God's words, believing what He said, and resting in it. Listen, if you speak God's word, let it be that. Don't speak it. We don't have to add anything to it. Just rest in that. Rest in what God said. Everything created has a spiritual side and a natural side. He created heaven and earth, spiritual, natural. Everything that is seen was created by something unseen. Everything has a spiritual and a natural side. So you gotta learn how to flow with the Spirit. I mean, we've got to have, the Holy Spirit has got to be able to move in us. So, I mean, He helps us to get what God wants done, right? And then number six, things that are created, they follow after a pattern or an image. What image do you put before you? Did you know that people are drawn to images? When Aaron put a gold cow in front of the Israelites, what did they do? They were drawn to it. They began to worship it. So you got to look at what image is in front of you. We're created in His image, His likeness. We're supposed to be conformed to His image. Talked on that last week. You can get the message. Number 7 is where we are now, but God creates good things. Everybody say good things. Say, our God is good. He creates good things. All right? And did you know that God created things to increase? Because He created things with seeds. Seed is the secret of increase. If God put plants that bear seeds in the garden, He didn't have to keep recreating those plants. Why? He put the seed in them. And the seed is what brings increase. So what's going to bring increase in our life? It's our seed. Okay? We're walking storehouse of seeds. All right. Are you ready to get into this tonight? Oh, before we do, go to Luke chapter 10. Go to Luke chapter 10 and Matthew chapter 10. All right? We'll go to Matthew chapter 10 first. Matthew chapter 10. I'm going to prove to you that this works, okay? Matthew chapter 10. And so, Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, Jesus is talking to the disciples here, and He tells them, He said, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into the city of Samaritans, enter not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, as you go preach. Okay, preach is saying His words, right? Declaring what He says. All right? Saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So their message was the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then He said, heal the sick. He gave them the authority to heal the sick, didn't He? Doesn't He heal the sick? He's the healer, right? But then He commissioned them to heal the sick. Is that a suggestion? Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Now, this applies both spiritually and naturally. Okay? Leprosy represents sin. So when you're cleansing a leper, you're also getting people saved. Right? The same thing is true spiritually. Okay? Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely you have received. Freely give. How should you give? Because that's how you received, right? So when the Lord gives you something, give it to whom He sends you the way He gave it to you. All right? Freely. And did it work for them? All right, go over to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Did they get the same results that Jesus got? Absolutely. All right? Go over to Luke chapter 10. And let's look at verse 17. This now, He sent out the 70. And He told them to go and... They were going to go to places where Jesus was going to go to. So in other words, they kind of prepared the way for Him. All right? So they went out. All right? And go down to verse 17. It says, and the 70 returned again with what? Joy, saying, Lord, even the what? The devils are subject to us through Your name. Did they get the results that Jesus got? Absolutely. And then Jesus told them, He said, well, don't worry that the devils are subject to you. just be concerned if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In other words, he said, don't be so concerned about what the devil's doing. Amen? Who cares what the devil's doing? What does it matter about someone who got kicked out of heaven is doing? Huh? You just be about your business, about the Father's business. Don't be so devil conscious that you're not God conscious. We ought to be more God conscious than devil conscious. Right? But my point is, they took this process. They spoke God's words. The Holy Spirit was working with them. This process, and they got his results. Okay? And when we take this process, see, this is why I've been going over this. I've been giving you a review of the main points because I want you to get it in your hearts. Okay? Now, go with me to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. This was a prayer that David prayed when he messed up. How many has ever messed up? All right? I got good news for you. The master can fix your mess. Okay? He can fix the mess. Notice what David prayed in verse 10. Psalm 51, verse 10. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Now, when David prayed this prayer, what kind of heart did he have? His heart was a mess. This was after he sinned with Bathsheba. Okay? He's praying this prayer in Psalms, and he's crying out to God. His heart was messed up because he made a mistake. All right? He sinned. Sin is missing the mark. Sin is disobeying God. Sin is doing what we want versus above what God wants. Okay? And but how many know that God can take a messed up heart? He can take a heart that has made mistakes, and he can create a clean heart. He can take the junk of our lives and make something better, better than what it was. He can make a messed up heart clean. Only he can do that. We can't do it. So the best thing for us to do, if we make a mistake, repent quick. Right? If you can remember this, be quick to repent and quick to forgive. Say this with me. Say, I'm quick to repent and I'm quick to forgive. Say it one more time. Say, I'm quick to repent and I'm quick to forgive. How quickly does God forgive us? When we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to cleanse us, to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay? So there was a creation here of a clean heart. Did you know that God is an expert heart transplant physician? He can take a heart of stone and turn it into a heart of flesh. He can take a hard heart and make it soft. He can take a rebellious heart and make it compliable with his will. Because he can create, because he's a creator. Okay? So God creates good things. A clean heart is a good thing, isn't it? All right? It's a renewal. This word create, according to Strong's, it is the word bara or bara. It means to create, to cut down, to feed as a formative process. It means to choose or to dispatch or to do. So God has a process by taking your mess, and he puts it through a process. He washes it. He rids it of what caused the mess, and he makes it brand new. Did you know that you have a new heart smell? You know, like the new car smell, new clothes smell? We have a new heart smell. Why? Because we've got a new heart in us. When God comes in you, he puts a new heart in you, a new nature. Brand spanking new. And he expects us to spend more time in the new and less time in the old. Here's an example of how God does this. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 10. 1 Samuel chapter 10. I couldn't but help but look at Nelson tonight playing the bass. There was just something about, he's got a glow about him tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1. Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon the head of Saul and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord has anointed you to be captain over his inheritance?" Now, the pouring of oil represented the anointing of God coming upon a person so that they could function in what God called them to do. Okay? Now, in the New Testament, the anointing doesn't have to come on us. It comes up from within us. Because we have the anointing, which is God's power in us. The Holy Spirit is God's power, and he's in us, right? In the Old Testament, he had to come up on people. But in us, he just has to come up from within. It's like you know when they're, you ever see people when they were drilling for oil or water, okay, and they hit a gusher. What happens? It begins to spew everywhere, right? And until they can get that capped, right, it spews and it gets all over you until it's capped. Okay? And God just wants to take his anointing and he wants to hit a gusher. He just wants that anointing to get all over you until he can cap it and put it in a faucet where you can switch it on and off, right? But God wants that anointing to spew out of you and get all over you. See, really, the word anoint actually means to smear. To smear all over you. So Samuel took this oil and he poured it on Saul. Okay? This isn't the best part. Verse 2, he said, "When you are departed from me today, you shall stand by Rachel's sepulchre in the border." Okay, we don't need to know all that. Let's go down to verse 6. Here's what I want to get to. Okay? "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you shall prophesy with them and be turned into another man." Listen, God wants us turned into another person. A person that talks and walks and acts just like Jesus. That's what it means to create a new heart. When God creates a new heart, he makes you right with him. He forgives you, he accepts you, and he commissions you. We're forgiven, we're accepted, but we're commissioned now. You've got to take that new heart, and you've got to act, walk, talk, think like Jesus. "Well, Pastor, I can't think like Jesus. He said his thoughts are higher than my thoughts." Well, did you know that God has an elevator? He'll take you up. He also said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, if he didn't want his mind in us, if he allows his mind to be in us, then he certainly allows his thoughts to be ours too. See, God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, yes, but through Jesus, he takes us up. Behold, I seat you in heavenly places. Right? Isn't that up? Okay. So, when the Spirit of the Lord moves on you, he transforms you into a new person. All right, go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I think there's going to be some transforming taking place tonight. There's going to be some forming and transforming. You know, the world says fight or flight, but God says transform and form. He forms in us what he wants, and he transforms us and gives us the ability to do that. Let's go to verse 10, Ephesians 2, chapter 10. For we are his workmanship. I want you to focus on that word workmanship. You know what that really means? It means we are God's masterpiece. You are God's Sistine Chapel. You are God's, what are some other famous paintings? You are God's Mona Lisa, yeah. We are his workmanship. We are his masterpiece. How do we become his masterpiece? Because before Christ, we were a mess, but he put in us a clean heart. He gave us a clean slate. Now he can create in us what he wants us to be. Okay? And because we've accepted Jesus Christ in our heart, we are his workmanship. We are his masterpiece. Say, I'm God's masterpiece. You are God's crowning achievement. He didn't make anything else in his image other than you. When he made things, he didn't make the plants in his image. He didn't make the sky in his image. He didn't make the earth in his image. He made you in his image, in his likeness. We are not going to be, not was, but we are right now and ongoing. We are his masterpiece, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works. Say, I'm created for good works. Who are you created in? Before Christ, the devil was our pattern. We were children of disobedience. We were in darkness. We were doing our own thing. So we came to Christ and God scrapped the old pattern. And now he gave us a new pattern. Jesus Christ is now our pattern. Unto good works which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Not everybody is doing what God wants them to do. Because walking in good works that Christ wants us to walk in requires faith. We've got to do it by faith. All right? So we are his workmanship, masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Okay? He describes our past pattern. All right? Then go down to verse 14. Well, we better look at verse 13. Okay? But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes were far off are made near by the blood of Jesus. Isn't making near, isn't that a creative phrase? Okay? For he is our peace who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition, or barrier between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments, contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Okay? So God took our old, he did away with the old, and he made something new at the cross. Okay? This is good news. This word create in Ephesians, it's the Greek word kitso. It means proprietorship. It means proprietorship of the manufacturer. It means to fabricate. It means to form originally. You are an original creation now. In Christ Jesus, you are now in Christ Jesus, you're an original creation. Now, some people or some manufacturers, when they make a new product, or how many has ever seen new and improved? Some of those new and improved, they just changed the box, but they didn't change what's inside the box. Okay? Any change to the container, they can say it's new and improved. But God didn't just change the box. He changed what was inside the box. He changed the real you. He changed you, the spirit. He made you just to be like Christ Jesus. You can act like Christ. You can walk like Christ. You can think like Christ. You can do what Christ did. And the devil can't stop you. So we got to start acting like Christ. Husbands, love your wife like how? Like Christ loves the church. Well, how does Christ love the church? If you find out how Christ loves the church, your wife will be thrilled. Because we're supposed to love our wives. Those of you that are married, we're supposed to love our wives like Christ loves the church. How? Sacrificially. It's not the wife that should be making the sacrifices. It's the husbands. Hallelujah. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 24. Well, we better look at verse 23. He just describes the old man. And then verse 23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Listen, you need the Holy Spirit to breathe on your mind. Because your mind controls the body. If your mind is messed up, so will your body be messed up. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You got to think differently to act differently. And he's not done yet. He's still going on. This is a conjunction, right? He's connecting this phrase. That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. How are you created? If the devil messed you up, God made you right. You're created in righteousness and true holiness. Say, I'm holy. Say, I'm righteous. You know, the Bible says we are the righteousness of God in Christ. Right? We are the righteousness, so we got to act righteous. If you are righteous, then you act righteous. You talk righteous. If you are holy, you act holy. All right. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. And have put on the new man. Notice he says put it on. He never says take it off. See, the new man is not something you put on and then take off after a while. The new man is how you live. The new man is a lifestyle. Okay? Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So we are now to pattern our lives after Christ. Now, Christ is greater than our feelings. Some of us still put our feelings above Christ. Christ says, do this, or I don't feel like it. We got to put on the new man. We got to live like Christ. We got to talk like Christ. We got to walk like Christ. Is it possible to do that? Absolutely. Who gave us the ability to do that? God. He created in us a new heart, a right spirit, a persevering spirit, a steadfast spirit. He creates good things. We're a good thing. Husbands, he said, you found what? He who finds a what? Good thing. If you're married, say, I've got a good thing. Amen. Communicate that goodness. Go to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. I might just end here. Why did God create us for good works? This answers the question right here. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things. Why? For your pleasure they are and were created. Did you know that we were created for God's pleasure? God takes pleasure in you. He takes pleasure in being with you. He takes pleasure in leading you. He takes pleasure in guiding you. He takes pleasure in teaching you. Why? We're created for His pleasure. Say, I'm created for His pleasure. God delights in you. I don't care what you've been told in the past. Those are lies. What God says in His Word is true. Stop looking at what you've been told in the past and start looking at what He's saying right now. Change your image. Your experience is not your teacher. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. He can show you things. He can go beyond your experience. Amen? I've never read in the Bible where it says, now we have experiences, but I've never read where it says our experience is our teacher. The Holy Ghost is our teacher. We need to follow the Holy Spirit more than anything. You know, God likes to do new things, as every creator does. You know, he's a designer, so He likes to keep designing new things. Eventually, He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. He makes us into new people. He gives us a new song, right? He does new things because He doesn't like the same old thing. He likes new things. He likes fresh things. And He creates us with a clean heart, with a clean purpose. And He wants to lead you into greatness. You know, how did Joshua know to defeat Jericho? God showed up and told him, He said, this is what you're going to do. And he did what God told him to do. He believed it. How do we know he believed it? See, if you believe it, you do it. Right? God had a way for Joshua to defeat Jericho. God had a way for Moses to get out of Egyptian control. He had a way under the sea that no one knew about, right? And when it got to that moment, when the Egyptian army was coming and the Red Sea was there, God said, well, what do you have in your hand? Everybody look at your hands. Did you know that God will use what's in these hands? And when you give these hands to him, he'll make them great. And he said, raise your stick. Okay? Moses raised a stick, and what happened? The Red Sea parted, and they walked on dry ground. How did Elijah know that he was going to have provision in the wilderness and then in Zarephath? Because the word of the Lord came unto him. He went where the word told him to go. And when he went where the word told him to go, he was provided for. Provision was guaranteed at the place of assignment. Okay? When Jesus sent out his disciples in Luke 10, he told them not to take any money bags because what they needed was going to be provided for. Okay? And they went and did what he said, and God supernaturally moved. Amen? It's amazing what happens when we do what God says do. Now, God wants to do something tonight. He wants to touch you. He wants to bless you. He wants to fill you. All right? When God wants to do these things, it's simply up to us to yield, to allow him to do it. God never does anything against our permission. Right? God doesn't force people to get saved, does he? No. He doesn't force people to get healed? No. He could, if he wanted to, he could, but he doesn't. He doesn't do that. He does things by invitation. Oftentimes, you know, I like Abraham because when God called him to do something, you know, often his response would say, here I am. I'm ready to do what you want done. And, you know, I like that song that we sing. What are you going to do when you see Jesus? Are you going to stand? Are you going to fall down? Are you going to sing hallelujah? You know what's going to happen. Just let it happen. Who cares about what's going to happen? Just let it happen. Amen? If you want to be touched by God, just make your way up front. And God is going to... You know, when two are in agreement, things multiply. When you agree on God's joy, you get double joy.